This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
What do you think of when I mention the word penitentiary? Well, my guess is some of you think of a building, some of you picture a facility, some of you may even picture an entire campus of a penitentiary that's either state or federal that you've driven by sometime in your life. What do you think of when I mention the word penitential? Well, maybe you're not sure. Penitential has to do with conviction for sin. It has to do with regret and grief and remorse that a person feels under that banner of conviction when God convicts us about the sin in our life. This week we begin a brand new series called the Penitential Psalms, seven of them to be exact, reflecting what happened in the life of David after committing adultery and murder. We begin with message one from Psalm 6 today. I doubt seriously that you would ever hear a minister admit publicly that twice in his lifetime he's gone to hear Willie Nelson perform. But I'm a big Willie Nelson fan. I took my oldest son, Jonathan, to a Willie Nelson concert in Fort Worth, Texas, years ago when we lived there. Then when we lived in Atlanta, I took Ben, our youngest son, to Gwinnett County Convention Center, and we watched Willie Nelson perform there. And to show you what a fan I was, at the church in Texas, there were two brothers who were orthopedic surgeons, one of whom had operated on Willie Nelson's drummer. So when we left Texas to move to Georgia, the doctor called the drummer's house and said, can I talk to whatever his name is, the drummer? And she said, well, they're on the road, but here's the number of the bus, Willie's bus. So he called the bus, and Willie Nelson answered himself. And he said, you don't know who I am, but I operated on your drummer, and my minister, who's moving to Georgia, is a big fan of yours. I was wondering if you could send him a picture that we could use at his farewell. And so they pulled over at a post office. Willie signed a picture, and I've got proof that I'm a Willie Nelson fan. It says to Randy, thanks, Willie Nelson. And so people say, you don't look like a Willie Nelson fan. And I wondered, you know, how should I look? Should I look like Kevin? Or, I mean, what's the word? I mean, how should I look to be a Willie Nelson fan? But I am. You say, where in the world are you going with this? Well, I remember the day that I heard Willie Nelson sing this song. It's an old song. Song written by Leon Payne. It was made famous by Hank Williams Sr. It's a song that goes like this. It's called Lost Highway. Really gripped my heart, the lyric. I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. For a life of sin, I have paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, just another guy on the lost highway. Just a deck of cards and a jug of wine. And a woman's lies makes a life like mine. On the day we met, I went astray. I started rolling down that lost highway. I was just a lad, nearly 22, neither good nor bad, just a kid like you. And now I'm lost, too late to pray. Lord, I've paid the cost on the lost highway. Lord, I've paid the cost on the lost highway. Whatever you say about that lyric, whatever that says to you, may I tell you what it says to me in one word? Conviction. I don't know if Leon Payne was writing a story or a page out of his own life. I don't know what he was trying to create, but it speaks to me of conviction. You see, one of the most holy moments in your life is when you feel conviction for the sin in your life. It really is.
Well, we'll continue this brand new series, brand new message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
When Father Damien, a Catholic priest who worked with lepers in Hawaii years ago, was making himself a cup of tea in the morning, hot boiling tea, and he spilled the kettle of water, hot water, all over his bare feet. And he said, I didn't feel a thing. He knew. He had Hansen's disease or leprosy because the nerve endings were dead. And he said the lack of pain
at the boiling water was proof to him that he had leprosy. And a lack of conviction in a man's life where you can live like you want to and live like hell, to use that expression, and it doesn't bother you. It can be. I'm not saying it is, but it can be a sign of spiritual deadness. Today we begin a seven-week series called the Penitential Psalms. There are seven psalms in the book of 150 psalms written by David that Bible scholars refer to as penitential, meaning he's convicted of sin. And most scholars think it's a reflection of the guilt he felt when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband Uriah murdered at the front of the battle. You know the story. I'm not going to go into the details of that. You've heard it before. And it's after being convicted of his sin, it may have been a year or two before he was under conviction, that he started writing Psalm 6, and then 32, and 38, and 51, and so on. And we'll go through all seven over the next 7 weeks, where David is convicted for sin. And the different stages, Franz Delitzsch, German Hebrew scholar, from years ago said he believes that this is in order. There is an order that goes on with the first Psalm 6, talking about his initial response is fear of punishment at the hand of God, and I think he may be right. So that's what we're doing next 7 weeks when God convicts you, and when God convicts me, when God convicts all of us. Psalm 6 is where we're at, and we pick it up in verse 1, beginning at chapter 6, 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. If you underline in your Bible, would you underline that phrase, save me because of your, God's unfailing love? Verse 8, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. The Lord accepts my prayer. Beth Tanner is a professor of Old Testament at New Brunswick Seminary in New Brunswick, New Jersey. She talks about how that the last decade, 15, 20 years, has been marked by what she calls the worship wars. Churches of all stripes, churches of all kinds of background, been in conflict over worship style. And she said there's been an idea of saying we've got to be more contemporary, we've got to reach the contemporary audience, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but she said the problem has been not with the music per se, the problem has been with the idea that we can't say anything that makes people feel down. We can't say anything, we can't preach anything that makes people feel a little sad. We've got to boost people's egos, and we've got to make people feel good about themselves, and you can't preach passages like Psalm 6. The irony is this, that's what people need. That's what people need. They need to have a sense of conviction, because there is no deliverance in your life without conviction and then repentance. There is no redemption. And you can't preach passages like Psalm 6 in the culture today. And you know what she said? The irony is this. That's what people need. That's what people need. They need to have a sense of conviction, because there is no deliverance in your life without conviction and then repentance. There is no redemption until you and I are, like David, we're convicted about our sin. Let's look at a couple things that I think will speak to you in a powerful way. Verse 1 says, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Now that's an interesting statement, because you know why? You know how you are when you're angry. You know how your wife or husband is when they're angry. And sometimes we say, you know, we do things in anger that we wouldn't normally do. And one Christian psychologist told me years ago that people justify bad behavior with these words. Well, you have to understand, I was mad. Therefore, I'm absolved. You have to get it. You have to realize I was angry. Therefore, ergo, it doesn't matter what I did. And he said, that's a lie. We are responsible for what we do when we're angry or not angry. We're responsible for our words, what we say in anger or in a lack of anger. But yet, isn't that interesting? In this first psalm, if there is a sequential order to this, that the first psalm, David says, Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath. He was afraid of punishment. I don't know what your feeling is about the Lord punishing you. We live in a culture that says we don't believe in that. You know, it's interesting. We live in a culture that says David felt guilt here, and he attributed to his guilt physical responses. You know, my bones hurt, and he was talking about the anguish. He said, Lord, my soul is in anguish. My bones are in agony. I'm worn out from my groaning. He uses physiological descriptions of his pain. And there'll be some people that say, you need to realize that was imagined. And therefore, somebody should have told David. Somebody should have come along and said, David, you do not need to feel that. You do not need to experience that, because that's not real. And somebody came back and said, yeah, he would need to know that. It doesn't matter whether it was real or not. He felt guilt, and he felt conviction that translated itself into physiological symptoms. He ached. And you know, when he uses the term, my bones hurt, he was talking about the deepest part of his being. It was something that went to the root of who he was and what he was as a person. I want to talk about verse 4. This is so powerful. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Raise your hand if you have held a toddler in your arms in the last year. Have you held a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old in your arms? Do you remember having this experience? You're holding a toddler in your arms, and you're talking to somebody else. And out of the blue, you see a hand come and grab you by the chin and pull you this way or that way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A child says, look at me. I don't care about you talking to those people. You talk to me. And that's what David was saying. Lord, turn. Lord, can I put my hands on your cheeks, figuratively speaking? Can you look at me? Can you turn to me, Lord, and deliver me, save me because of your unfailing love? Did you notice the basis for God, his approaching God for saving him, on God's love, not on his track record?
Well, we'll continue this beginning message of a new series tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed. God bless you, and thanks for listening to CrossHope.
Did you notice his approaching God for saving him on God's love, not on his track record? Don't ever go to the Lord and say, Lord, do you know what good things I do? Lord, do you have a clue of how nice I am to people? Lord, do you have a clue of the good things I've done in my lifetime? When you appeal to the Lord, you don't appeal to on your track record about anything. But you say, Lord, according to your unfailing love, your grace and your mercy, that's what we appeal to. And most men don't get that. Most women don't get that. We always think we have to throw our track record up to the Lord. This is how much I've done. This is how much I gave. This is what I've done for the kingdom of God. And all we can do is throw ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, because of your love, because of your mercy. I read something recently that I'm going to tell you up front. I'm not sure I believe this guy. I'm just going to be honest with you. He uses the word narcissist in his self-description, so maybe if he is a narcissist, then I'm going to question some of what he says, but he still makes a powerful point. His name is Byron. I've never heard anyone describe their life in the way he did in two paragraphs. How would you describe your life in two brief paragraphs? Here's what Byron says. During my life, I have been a runaway, a drug addict, a dropout, a terrible husband, a worthless father, selfish, self-absorbed, egomaniacal, narcissistic, harsh, cruel, callous, and probably just about any other derogatory thing of which you can think. But in my time, I've also been the one who stays put, clean and sober, a graduate, a wonderful husband, a terrific father, selfless, humble, modest, nice, kind, empathetic, and probably every other exemplary thing of which you can think. Now, I have trouble with that statement because of the, you know, the juxtaposition of the two extremes, but I read that to you because of the next sentence. What has made my numerous redemptions possible is the power of God's forgiveness and the second chances that come with it. What a statement. He's saying if there's any goodness that has come out of my life or in my life, comes out of God's forgiveness. Does that say anything to anybody today? Anything good in your life can be traced back to God's forgiveness, and I hope you know that. Anything good in your marriage, traced back to God's forgiveness. Anything good in your relationship with your children, trace it back to God's forgiveness. Anything good on the job, trace it back ultimately to God's forgiveness. And that's what David was appealing to in verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. Verse 9, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. How would you describe your life? Would you use some of the words, the verbiage that Byron used and describe both good and bad? Realize that forgiveness has more to do with your life and your wholeness and your coming to terms with life than anything else. I really believe that. Your greatest need is not to be happy, it's to be forgiven. Your greatest need is not to win the lottery, it's to be forgiven. Your greatest need is not to get the job, the house, or the car that you've always wanted. Your greatest need is to be forgiven, and that's my greatest need.
Well, you're listening to the first message in a series called When God Convicts, looking at the seven penitential psalms out of the book of Psalms. There's 150 psalms, but seven of them are referred to as penitential. We talk about this week and for the next 6 weeks. God bless you as you listen to CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org.
All I know about this woman is her first name. It's Diane. She's from Hudson, Ohio. Not even sure where Hudson, Ohio is, but she writes a powerful paragraph that goes like this. Before my dad died, my dad used to sit in church every Sunday and just quietly weep. Every single Sunday we would go to church. My dad would just weep through the entire service. And Diane said, as a teenager, I wondered, what's up with this? Why does my dad weep during church? And so one Sunday afternoon, she said, Dad, I've got to ask you. I've never asked you this before. But why is it that every Sunday I look over and you are softly, quietly weeping, not sobbing out loud, but just quietly weeping? And here's what he said. Diane's dad said this. Diane, I just can't get over the fact that God would forgive a sinner like me. Wow. I just can't get over the fact that God would forgive a sinner like me. You may be a person who would never weep. And some of you are. You don't shed a tear in front of anybody, including your husband or wife. You may be a person who's got it all together, and that's just unthinkable to you about weeping in church or weeping anywhere. But let me tell you this, the thought has crossed your mind. How could God forgive me for what I did 10 years ago? 5 years ago, last week. That's what troubles the soul of most people in this room, all three services. And that's the truth. How could God forgive me? And I want to suggest to you, it goes back to what David said. Lord, save me because of your unfailing love. He throws it back to the Lord and says, it's everything that he does and everything that he did. And in the Christian context, we can say, God forgives me because of the cross. As Caleb mentioned, all of sin, Christ became sin. He didn't just have our sins, he became our sin on the cross. And we need to remember that and acknowledge that. I began with the lyrics to Leon Payne's song, Lost Highway. I want to close with reading them again. Put yourself in the lyric in some shape or fashion. I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. For a life of sin, I've paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, just another guy on the lost highway. Just a deck of cards and a jug of wine and a woman's lies make a life like mine. On the day we met, I went astray. I started rolling down that lost highway. I was just a lad, nearly 22, neither good nor bad, just a kid like you. And now I'm lost, too late to pray. Lord, I paid the cost on the lost highway. No, he didn't. He didn't pay the cost. Jesus did. He did not pay the cost. Jesus Christ did. And the hope of that young man, 22 years old, in the context of that song, his only hope was Jesus Christ, to take him off the lost highway and bring him into a right relationship with the God who made him through what happened on the cross. You know what? That's your need. And that's my need. Don't leave here as somebody walking down the lost highway. You work with people every day who are walking down the lost highway, who have the attitude, it's too late to pray. There's nothing I can do. And as Christians, we bear the good news. You're not stuck on the lost highway. There's hope. There's hope, and it's in Christ, and it's in everything he accomplished on the cross. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together.
You know, the interesting thing about this psalm is David did not know Christ. You have the opportunity to know the one who died on a cross for your sins. His name is Jesus. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or to listen to any message you may have missed or find out more about a ministry we call Crosshope.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.